Amen and amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is old school Bible. Old school Bible, that's what we're going to talk about today. Old school Bible. Now in this series, we've taken you through several very important subjects. The first one was old school beliefs. The second one was old school roads, talking about the Romans' road to salvation. Then we talked about old school relationships and friendship with my good friend Nick Beret. And then we talked about old school prayer and why prayer is so important. And today we're going to talk about old school word, old school Bible, in other words, old school Bible, and why we can have trust in the Bible. Why do I trust the Bible? You know, in this day and age that we live in, it seems as though there's less and less importance on the Bible, less and less importance on what the Bible says, and it's more important, apparently, at least that's what the culture thinks, on what mankind thinks. I believe God has a different opinion about that. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what it says. It says in verse 16, all scripture, not some of it, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I thought I'd start today by just letting you know why do I trust the Bible? Why does Doug Mitchell, not Pastor Doug Mitchell, why did Doug Mitchell choose to be a follower of Christ and try to build his life on the scripture? Why? Because I believe this word. I believe everything that is in it. Everything that is in this, I believe. In fact, that is one of the things, the hallmarks of a believer throughout the centuries, is that we have believed in God's holy written word. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, that the Scripture is not wrong. Now, there are some times where translations have missed spelling or have missed grammar marks, and even well-known Bible scholars would agree with that statement. But out of every ancient document that we have, there are some very logical reasons to believe that this word is God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. There are some 40 authors, 3 different languages, over 1,500 years that put this one story that has one theme, the redemption of mankind, from Genesis to Revelation. It was interesting. I was doing some research and I came across this really cool video, and I noticed the name underneath the video, Dr. Craig Blomberg. He sounded really, really important. And I started remembering, I went, oh my goodness, he was my Greek teacher. And he's giving this dissertation to a bunch of students, and he's telling them, you know, he's rebutting some of the modern criticism of the Word of God, that somehow it's not accurate, it's been passed down, you know, it's been watered down by all these different people, and it's just what people think, and it's not really. This guy's an atheist who wrote a book about it, and Dr. Blomberg is rebutting everything he's saying with amazing facts. And one of the things he said is that if you boil down all of what are, quote, the discrepancies of the manuscripts, you only can come up with 12 minor discrepancies out of 50,000 copies. And the 12 minor differences out of these manuscripts do not change who Jesus is. Do not change God's plan for redemption of mankind. Do not change that we believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Do not take away from the virgin birth. Do not take away from God's body on planet Earth and His soon coming King. Nothing. It takes away absolutely nothing. So you say, why do I personally believe the Bible? I believe the Bible because of the manuscripts. The manuscripts. It's going to be an easy acronym that I'm going to let you know. It's called MAPS. M-A-P-S. The manuscripts. We have copies and fragments of the Gospel of John that go all the way back to about 175 A.D. About 100 years after Christ. That's about as far back as the original manuscripts that we can go. You say, oh, well then what happened in that other 100 years? Well, it's pretty clear that the Jewish people had a reverence for the scripture. If you've ever been to a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah, you recognize their reverence for the scripture. When you were considered a scribe back in the day, old school, some things never go out of style, they were not going to miss one jot nor tittle if they were copying the manuscripts. If they were copying the Torah to be placed in a synagogue, they were under such a sacred oath that if they felt as if they deviated in any way, shape, or form from the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, that they would somehow be cursed and damned forever. That's how they took their job. So that same reverence for the scripture, God's holy word, carried all the way through the Jewish people into the early church. So when scripture, and the Apostle Paul is telling us, all scripture is given by inspiration. It's given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. So, number one, the manuscripts. Number two, archaeology. Up until the 1840s, the critics of the Bible would say, oh, this is just a fairy tale book because we can't find any of the cities that are mentioned in it. 1840. They started discovering all of the cities. At one point they said, oh, the Old Testament can't be valid because there was no such king as Nebuchadnezzar. They found the proof. We're not talking about Christians finding the proof. We're talking about archaeologists that's their job is to dig. And they start finding things. Oh, wasn't this mentioned in that book? They say, well, the story of Daniel can't be true because Belshazzar is never mentioned in any of the ancient literature that we found. 1870. Oh, Belshazzar. He's in charge of the country while the king left for a little bit. Oh, he was second in command, validating scripture one more time. So I believe in the Bible and I trust the Bible because of the manuscripts and their accuracy. I believe the Bible because of archaeology and eyewitness accounts. The eyewitness accounts, if you were to put all of the evidence of the Bible on trial in a court of law, the evidence is overwhelming because of the eyewitness accounts. You know, in this country, when there is an eyewitness to a crime, that is a huge thing in the court of law. Because it's one more witness. The Word of God tells us, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God has more than two or three. In this book, there are countless testimonies of changed lives. One more time. So not only do I believe the Bible because of the manuscripts, not only do I believe the Bible because of archaeology, not only do I believe the Bible because of accounts, eyewitness accounts that have been handed down from generation to generation to generation, but I believe the Bible because of prophecies. The prophecies that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Check, 400 years before he was born. In fact, there were 400 prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled from the Old Testament in the life of Jesus. So what we see is an accuracy. We see a consistency. And so in the reason why I believe in the Scripture is because it is a solid foundation. Maps, M-A-P-S. The manuscripts, archaeology and the accounts, prophecy. But I also believe in the solid, solid way a Christian can build his life. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Old school Bible. That's what we're talking about. Why can you trust the Bible? You can trust the Bible in everything that you look up. There are more passages about money. You need money advice? It's in here. You need relationship advice? Oh, it's in here. You can build your life and find out how to treat other people. It's in here. How to worship God? It's in here. How to walk in purity? How can a young man keep his way pure? By the word of God. What about walking in a dark place? The Bible tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We can trust the Bible. It has been the most maligned book, the most fought book. In fact, during the Soviet Union era and the communist era of the Russian Soviet Union, you would find that there were pastors that would hold on to whole hand-copied, did I say hand-copied? Yeah. Hand-copied books of the Bible. They would meet each other in secret and say, I've been preaching from the book of John for a year. Do you have another book that I could trade with you? My church needs to hear something else. And they would trade. Well, I've got the book of Ephesians. You do? And they would trade. Hand-copied. Bootleg copies of the Scripture. Passed in secret. Currently, even in the North Korea, that same thing is happening. In many Middle Eastern countries where the Word of God is illegal to bring in. There are, and I won't mention the countries that he's been to, but Reverend Cliff Graham has brought jump drives with the Scripture in Aramaic in some of those Middle Eastern countries. What is that about? That's about getting the Word of God. Why? Because where the Word of God is freely preached, people's lives come up. They come up. I'll remember in 1993, Pastor Christine and I had the privilege of going to Russia. We brought with us a case of Bibles. And one morning, and I get emotional about this. The wall had fallen 2 years before. But in 1993, we brought a case of Bibles and we made an announcement that we would be passing out Bibles in the Russian language to everybody on a particular morning. When we showed up that morning, there were more people in Bibles. They were almost tripping over each other trying to get the Word of God. We sat there, and they were gone in seconds. We had all brought, I forget how many cases we had. We had so many cases, they were gone. People were hungry for the Word of God. They had been starved from the truth of God's word for 80 years. And they knew that it must have some power because governments are afraid of it. Because it sets the human heart free. You can put people in prison, but when the human heart is free. You can enslave people, but when the human heart is free, there is freedom. Because if you believe the truth sets you free no matter what's going on in your circumstances. Church, we're talking about old school Bible. Why do I believe the Bible? I believe that it's a solid way you can build your life. In fact, verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7 says it this way. This is Jesus' words. He said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one as having authority and not as the scribes. I think it's interesting here, and I've often pointed this out when I've preached this sermon, or not this sermon, but from this scripture, that both houses most likely looked the same on the outside. It's when the storms of life come, that's when you know. When the storm hits your life, and you're going through a difficulty, and your life has been built on God's word, you can stand the test of time. You can stand when it seems like everything's been thrown at you. When the financial collapse is thrown at you. When a health situation is thrown at you. When relationships or situations are thrown at you. And when a job situation is thrown at you. And when a business is failing and that's thrown at you. And when you see all of those things and yet they still stand. Glory to God. See, you're built on the rock. Old school Bible says this book people have died for. It was said that Voltaire, the famous progressive modern thinking philosopher of the Enlightened Age, because we're enlightened now, we don't follow myths. He made a prediction that the only place that you would find this book is in a museum. God has a sense of humor. That man's house is a Bible museum today. It didn't always be a Bible museum. It still isn't just a Bible museum. It's a place where Bibles are distributed. Interesting thing about that. Voltaire thought he didn't need God, he didn't need the Bible, and he had turned his back on it. There are stories that when he was dying and it's saying his last breath, that he was crying out that he wanted to see a minister. And his attendant wouldn't let him. Trying to protect the image of Voltaire. That's a heavy thought. That people are kept from the Word of God are left in darkness. Right now we see another modern assault on the Word of God and its truths. And it's interesting to see. It's all intertwined in the culture wars, trying to divide people by race and by culture and by all kinds of things. Just divide, 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 divide. The Word of God tells us that the grass fades, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. I got news for you. This book, should Jesus tarry, this book will stand the test of time. It will be here long after your favorite political party, Republican or Democrat, or Independent, It will be here long after any government. I love America, but you know what? It'll be here after here. You know what I'm saying? Because the Word of God is that crucial. It is that important. Because why are people so afraid of it? It changes lives. It sets people free. I believe that when we value the Word of God, we value reading it. Most of us have multiple copies in our house. We have multiple copies. You can carry around 400 translations in your pocket. How much do we read it, and how much do we let it read us? Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. You see, the Bible's a supernatural book. See, not only do I believe the Bible because of the manuscripts, the archaeology, the eyewitness accounts, the prophecy, and that it's a solid way to build your life, but I believe that the Bible is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And it divides. It gets deep down inside of us. And it changes our very makeup if we will allow it. And that's the thing, is that I find that many people are neglecting the Word of God. Many people are neglecting it, just say, well, it couldn't mean that. You know, it really doesn't mean that there's really a hell. There can't be a hell. We have people, Christians, who say that now. Who say, oh, well, you know, wait a second. Jesus talked about hell. It's a real place that you need to avoid. Now, we don't beat people up, and, you know, that's not the gospel, but we need to tell people there really is a place like that. And we don't want anybody to go there. And I'm certainly not sending anybody there, because it's not in my power to do so. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So it is useful to build your life. It's powerful. You know, Jesus used the Word to combat the devil's temptation. We saw that. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, outflashed, speaking of Jesus using the Word of God, it is written. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said, considered the prince of preachers. He said this, outflashed the sword of the Spirit, our Lord will fight with no other weapon. He could have spoken new revelations, but he chose to say, it is written. There is a power in the Word of God which even the devil cannot deny. You know, current progressive philosophies and justice warriors often undermine the authority of God's Word by attempting to discredit its authenticity and accuracy. It's because it is divinely God-breathed. Look at that verse again in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's God-breathed. That means the very breath of God is on it. Whew. When you understand that it is God-breathed, it changes everything. It's not just a dusty old book that just some old people, you know, they like to listen to it. No, this book is a book that will change your life. This book, if you will allow it to get inside of you, will change the way you think, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you interact with those around you. Notice what it said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 there. We're going to look at that because that's our key verse today. Thank you, Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration is God-breathed, the breath of God. It's God-breathed. So this is another reason why I believe the Bible. It's God-breathed. And notice what it says after that. It says it's profitable. So I looked up the word profitable. And you know what it means? It means it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's to my advantage. To pay attention to this book. It's not only God-breathed, but it's profitable. And then it says something interesting. It says that it is profitable for doctrine. Now, a lot of people, even young people and younger Christians, sometimes they kind of like, doctrine. Don't teach me doctrine. I just want Jesus. I'm sorry, but doctrine, The doctrine of Christ is who is Christ.
That's right.
The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is what does the Holy Spirit come to do? We learn about God through the Bible. Doctrine is not a bad thing. Oh yeah, you can argue about doctrine sometimes, and Christians do. But did you know that one of the main things that in Christendom is who Jesus is? When we look at the body of Christ, remember when we were talking about old school beliefs? We said, I believe in the holy, Catholic, small church, small c, which means universal church. That means I believe in the body of Christ in all of its diversity, which means that I can have fellowship with my Baptist brother or sister. I can have fellowship with my Episcopalian brother or sister. If you call Jesus your Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, died for your sins, you are my brother. I might argue with you on about 1,000 other things, but you know what I've learned over the years? Arguing doesn't do any good, so don't argue. Love. Be kind. Figure out what you do agree with. How can I work with you? Right in this town, I remember one night, less than a year ago, in Mimi's coffee shop, praying in tongues with a local Catholic priest.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Jesus is Lord. You see, the body of Christ is so much bigger and so much more diverse than we even think of. It's what did you do with Jesus? Right? It's about Jesus. And the Word of God tells us that it's profitable. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. That word is diaskalia. And it's teaching. It's profitable to teach from. It's not just a dusty old book full of myths. No, there's very real things in here that you can live your life on. Build your life not on the sand of changing, shifting philosophies, but instead build your life on the rock, something that has stood the test of time over and over and over again. The Word of God will stand forever. And notice what it says here. It says, and for instruction, it says profitable for doctrine and for correction. Correction. That's an interesting word. So I looked it up in the Greek language. Dr. Blomberg would have been proud of me. Epanorthosis. Epanorthosis. Guess what it means? It means restoration to an upright or right state. It's improvement and correction. It's not condemnation. So the Word of God, if you allow it into your heart, will not beat you up in correction. It will adjust you. It'll adjust you. If your heart is right before the Lord, you'll just say, oh, I got to change how I do that a little bit, don't I? I got to, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I was speaking earlier with Brother Adam, and I said, do you know what the word bodini means? And he said, yeah, I have some relatives from down south. Your bodini is your mouth. And sometimes we let our bodini get overloaded. I had an opportunity this morning. I had to pull it in. I had to pull it in, right? Brother Adam's my witness, I did. I pulled it in, right? I had an opportunity. Why? Because the Bible tells us to watch what our words say, right? When you get cut off on 684, on the Sawbill, on the Taconic, bless them, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
I'll never forget, I was driving my car in Tulsa, Oklahoma at a conference one time, and some guy pulled out and he like beeped at me and cut me off. And he gave me a salute with his hand. And then I looked at the back and he had a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. I honked back. Just saying, I love Jesus. Right? I wanted to say something else back, but I didn't. Glory to God, right? Sometimes we allow this But what does the Word of God do? The Word of God comes in and it adjusts us. And notice what the picture is here. If you fell down, the Word of God can put you back upright. Can put you back upright. Upright. Not down in the mud, but upright. That's what the Word of God does. That's what correction is. Correction is not, oh, you did something wrong, you horrible person. No. God's love is so much bigger. It's like, come on, get back up. There's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. And it's by living according to the precepts of the Word. Correction is a restoration to an upright position. It also says there for reproof. And I thought correction and reproof are the same thing. And they're not. Reproof, listen to this. Reproof, the word there, is by which invisible things. Listen, 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 listen. This is the truth of God's Word. By which invisible things are proved and we're convinced of their reality. Reproof is not get it together, but when you study God's Word, it says that which is invisible, those things are proved. And we're convinced of their reality. Okay, this is why I believe the Word of God. This is why old school Bible is important. This is why we, sometimes people call our type of church a word church. If you've ever heard that, maybe you didn't grow up in this kind of church, but we're a word church because we believe that we should go back to the Word, check things out. That's why sometimes if you come up and you ask me for a prayer request, I'll say, what word are you standing on? Is there a Bible verse that you're believing God for? If you're believing for healing, don't come and bring me a money verse. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to adjust us and go, wait, but there are things in here that will help you. If you're believing God for peace, right? Then is there a Bible verse that will help you to get that internal peace so that you can sleep at night and not have insomnia? Glory to God. I think there's somebody that might be dealing with insomnia in here. And if you're here, I want you to listen. There are verses that will help you sleep well. And if you need a little help after service, come find me. I'll help you. I'll pray for you. I'll help you. I'll help you find the verse. Because there are verses that will help you. Amen. All right. So then it goes on to say, not only can you be reproved, right, for reproof, for correction, be put back up, but it says for instruction in righteousness. Instruction. I got news for you. There are certain things, even in the electronic world, and I do that as an outside job, I need help. I need somebody to show me how to do it because I don't know how to do it. But there are people who do. So I go and ask for instruction. Would you please teach me how to do that? I need to help a customer. I need to help this individual with this situation. Would you please teach me how to do that? Do you know the Bible has a lot of how-tos? It has how-tos, young people, teenagers that are here. It has how-tos on how you're supposed to treat your parents. Husbands, there's some how-tos on how you're supposed to treat your wife. Wives, there's some how-tos how you're supposed to treat your husband. Why? Because God gives us instructions so that we can have a peaceful life. And a life full of grace that even when the storms come, our house isn't falling. Yes. See, the person who doesn't build their life on the Word and the person who does, their houses might look the same or close to it. Oh, that person looks like they got it all together. But when the storm comes, you go, Really? They were dealing with all that? Because you see the shambles of their life at the end. And you go, wow, I didn't know they were going through all that. I thought I was just going through a storm, but I was hanging on to the Word. I was just hanging on to the Word. I didn't know they were going through all that. You know? Boy, I wish I would have told them about the Word of God. I wish I would have told them. You know, years ago, you've heard me talk about the revivals that blew through here through Full Gospel Businessmen Association and things of that nature. And sometimes you'll hear people talk about how these leaders were so busy organizing meetings and everybody thought nothing would ever happen to them that they fell and they got talked out of their faith and everything because they were so busy doing all of this. And they never were part of a local church to lock in and get the instruction from the Word of God. And then people would just scratch their heads and say, oh, I thought he was doing so good. What do we say when we hear of a celebrity who comes to know Christ, but they're not part of a local church, they have no pastor, and we get all excited because they start speaking about Christ. They start being vocal about their faith. But then all of a sudden we hear all the scandals that still happen, and we go, oh, that's disappointing. They didn't let the Word of God adjust them, pull them up from a fallen position, instruct them, reproof and prove to them that the rest of the Word of God is true, reprove to them that on how they could get their flesh under. Because, listen, we all walk around with flesh, right? We all walk around with stuff that we could give into if we let ourselves. But the Word of God has a much better way to live. Much better way to live. You see, when we live by this Word, it sets a foundation. It sets a foundation for us to live and live differently. Live much differently. I want you to go back. Keep your finger here because we're going to keep coming back. This is the key verse. We're going to keep coming back to this verse. But I want you to go back to Matthew 7. This time, I want to go to 21, Matthew 7, verse 21. I'm almost done, by the way, folks. Matthew 7 and verse 21. We're talking about old school Bible. Why is it so important? Some things never go out of style. The Word of God never goes out of style. Never. And we've got to come to grips with that in this particular age, just like almost every age has come up against this. But in Matthew 7, we're going to look at verse 21. It says this. Now, this is going to be kind of shocking, but notice what it says. These are Jesus' words. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. The word there, lawlessness, that whole couple of verses is setting the tone for the wise and the foolish builder. The word lawless in the Hebrew language has to do with finding your own way. In other words, what Proverbs 21:2 says, every way is right in a man's own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. You see, the antidote is to build your life on truth. Jesus said in a couple verses earlier than what we just read, reason I'm doing it backwards because I wanted to do the easy part first. Now we're doing it this way. In verse 13, it says, you enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many ways to go by it. Because the narrow gate, the narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now that sounds pretty hopeless, but understand, we've got the Word of God. That we can find that way, we can live that truth, and you're going to be the odd man out. Just saying, you're going to always feel like you are a salmon swimming upstream. Yeah. Because culture is going to go a whole different way. Culture is going to jump in, and every way is right in a man's own eyes. And that attitude of every way is right in a man's own eyes has infiltrated the church. We've seen worship leaders renounce their Christianity. We've seen pastors renounce their Christianity. We've seen people that we had on pedestals and had written books that were bestsellers, Christian bestsellers, come off of that, all of that. Why? They were talked out of it because culture said go this way. But the Word of God says go this way. Few find it. Few hang on to it. I believe you're going to hang on to it. Because some things never go out of style. The Word of God is so amazing. Now let's go back to our verse. Go back to our verse in 2 Timothy 3. Let's look at it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the breath of God. It's profitable. It means it's an advantage to you. That's the reason why I believe in the Word of God. I need every advantage I can get. How about you? Don't you want an advantage? Don't you want an advantage in life? How about getting the favor that you need at that job? How about getting that kind of favor? Glory to God. What about that raise, that increase? This is unheard of, but we're going to do this for you. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. Yeah, it's happened to me. I've had manager look at me before and go, you know, we never do this. Lately, you know what I've been saying when people say, Doug, how are you? You know what my Bo-Diddy is saying? This is what my Bo-Diddy says. I say, I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed and highly favored. And one of my coworkers looked at me just a couple days ago and they go, that's pretty cool. And I go, it is cool. Because I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. A couple of minutes later, I was working on a scheduling situation with my schedule. And one of my managers looked at me. She looked at me and she said, you know, you always get what you need, don't you? And I smiled. And I said, yes, I know that, so I don't complain. Why is the Word of God important? Why do you believe the Word of God? It's one thing for me to tell you all my reasons. But it's another when it's personal. It's got to become personal for you. I'm going to tell you right now, test the Word of God. It will not break. It will not fail. It will do what it says it will do. It will bring life and healing to you. It will bring help to you. And yeah, few find it because few hang on to it. Don't be talked out of it. In high school, I had a very good friend. We walked with God together. He knew the scripture better than I. Thought he was called into the ministry. Brilliant kid. Salutatorian in his class. Goes off to MIT on a full ride scholarship. One semester later, comes home and says, I'm an atheist. Don't be talked out of your faith. Don't be talked out of the book that has stood the test of time. Don't be listening to that kind of rubbish that takes you away from what is truth. Because as a mentor used to say to me, truth is truth. You can kick it and it'll still be truth. You can throw it up against the wall and don't be afraid, it'll still be truth. God's word will still be true, and every man will be a liar. God's word will go and do things that you could never dream of. If you'll believe it, apply it, it'll be a blessing to your life. Some things never go out of style. This book is the most complete ancient book that the world even has. And it has been proven time and time and time and time again. And when the enemies of the Word of God think they won, eventually they don't. And wherever the Word of God has been freely preached and governments have lifted the ban on Scripture, the standard of living comes way up. Because why? God is interested in the prosperity of His people. And that's not a dollar amount. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be driving a Rolls Royce and living in a mansion and flying around in a jet. It means that God wants to bring people up out of poverty and bring them to a place where they have everything they need when they need it. That's God. For I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Build your house on the rock and just stand through the storm. Amen? Old school Bible, some things never go out of style. I hope that you got something out of that today. I believe that the Word will change you. It's changed me. I am a living proof and testimony. I'm another one of those eyewitness accounts. I didn't write Scripture. That's a different level. It's not me. But I'm another one of the eyewitnesses that says, here am I. My life was changed. The Word of God will change you too. Amen? Let's pray. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of you. Everything we need. The Scripture. And Father, I thank you that you can inspire us to go back to that Word, pick it up, dust it off. Let it have a place in our heart, not just to be hearers only, as James tells us. Don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of that Word so that then we would be blessed. So, Father, I thank you. We can trust your Word. You've given us a trustworthy way to live. Thank you, Father. Bless your people today. Inspire them to open the book again, to study the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, to get it in their heart so that when that evil day comes or when that storm of life comes, They can stand in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to say a simple prayer. It's based in Scripture. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. But what does that mean, Pastor? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that you receive his forgiveness by faith, and you confess him as Lord and Savior, God will meet you right where you're at. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need to either recommit your life to Christ or you need to receive Christ for the first time, I want you to raise your hand in this place. Or if you're online, you can just pray with us out loud. We're all going to pray together as just an act of being with you so you're not alone. Just let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or that was a recommitment prayer for you, I'd like to know about it. You can message us on Facebook. I'll be available to pray with you after the service. And I just want you to know we're here for you. If you need something, message us. We want to minister to you. If you're online, and you're watching and you just need some special prayer, you're going through a time, maybe you need some help in finding that scripture. If you're dealing with insomnia, and that's you and you're watching, or you're here, there are scriptures that can help you with sleeping through the night peacefully. And so I want to thank you for watching today online, and those of you that are here, immediately following, we will have our ukulele rehearsal. And also, we will be, I want you to be ready for next week, Reverend Cliff Graham.
Amen.
You do not want to miss it. If you need healing in your body, you just need a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a great service. If you've never heard Brother Cliff, he's amazing. He's written several books now, and you're going to have a great time. Come ready to receive. Tune in to us if you can't be here in person. Watch us on Wednesday nights, Facebook Live, 7:30. Let's stand to our feet, and let's have our sending out verse right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.